From the Northside Lexus traffic desk, delays on 290. There is an accident heading inbound right after you pass 43rd Street. It's over to the right shoulder. Over on the Southwest Freeway, sitting on the HOV lane, northbound at Chimney Rock, there's an accident there. On the main lanes, the traffic is stacking up from the Beltway. And over on the South Loop, eastbound at 225, there's an accident over to the right shoulder. Mostly cloudy this afternoon with a high of 72, 63 degrees right now. From the Trailer Wheel and Frame Weather Desk, Amelia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
A sports genius, a former NFL player, and a millennial bro. This is Mad Radio with Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, and Paul Gallant.
Yeah, they should have put, Antonio Brown throwing that ottoman out the window. That's Gillette commercial material right there.
Toxic masculinity.
At the end of the commercial, they should have had one of his, his travel mate be like, yo, Antonio, no. Don't throw the ottoman off the, now let's go shave.
This is Mad Radio, presented by Allstate Siding and Windows on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
We are into the 8 o'clock hour on a Thursday. Mike, Seth, and Paul. Rockets fell last night. They're back in action on Saturday against the Lakers. Let's set up Conference Championship Sunday in the NFL. There's one interesting feud that's going on between Marcus Peters and Sean Payton. So let's start with this. This was a few months ago during the regular season where after the Saints won, this is the game in the Superdome when the Rams had a big comeback down 35-14, but they ended up winning the game partially due to a very long pass play in the fourth quarter.
The Saints did, right.
The Saints, yes. Marcus Peters was not happy after that game.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that we going to see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him, keep talking that and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
By the way, Marcus Peters not one to be trifled with on the sidelines this season, as evidenced by the time at the Coliseum where he basically took five steps up the ramp that goes into the stands to say, hey, what's going on, to a fan who was talking trash to him.
That's right. He said, where are you from, homie?
Sean Payton.
Well, Sean Payton in the press conference after that game had also, like, emphatically said, we liked the matchup on Michael Thomas. And he was pointing to Marcus Peters. So,
yeah.
Because Michael Thomas went off in that game. Like, Marcus Peters owned that performance. Said he had a really bad day. It was a really bad performance by him.
I like the way he said, yeah. So obviously this is going to be a big story over the course of this week before the NFC Championship game. A reporter tried to, bait Sean Payton on this whole tête-à-tête this week.
Sean, would you say you're more of a chicken and andouille or seafood gumbo kind of guy?
Next question.
Sean, what do you feel like?
I don't like seafood. Where you're going.
I thought that was a good question.
Bold move with him. I don't know if he was just trying to deflect the question, but if he genuinely doesn't like seafood,
bold
move by him in New Orleans, to say that you don't like seafood.
What he should have said was, hey, listen, I love seafood. Gumbo is not my favorite.
You know what I like even better? Racial harmony.
How do you think O'Brien would have handled that situation? Say he had a random beef with a player.
O'Brien's pretty good about, honestly, I'm kind of shocked. I don't think I can remember Peyton publicly going after a player like that. I can't see O'Brien getting into that situation. I'm not sitting here saying that O'Brien is like a master of his own emotions or anything. He's not. He's always pretty careful. To his credit, including with his own players, he really respects that player-coach dynamic. Like, he really is always very conscious of not criticizing his own players, opponents, whomever it might be.
I think so, too. And yeah. I think to the point where a lot of people's frustration over O'Brien taking ownership of things going on, it's on me, I need to coach better. A lot of that, if you read between the lines, is like, well, this unit's really bad, and we've got to fix that. But he's not going to say that at the podium. He's not going to say that publicly. But even though Bill is, one of the things he's famous for is the Brady thing, he has never gotten into it, I don't think, with an opposing player.
Yeah, if you guys remembered him, John, with anybody? I don't think so.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head, and you would think maybe that in a moment where he was wired up, he might be talking a little smack with somebody on the field.
Yeah.
But honestly, I feel like if he were to be doing it, he would be doing it in a way where he, I think, would be doing it in a fun way. I just can't see him being angry about it.
Well, plus, this is one of the reasons why he needs to remain the offensive coordinator. It keeps his mind and mouth occupied. If he was just a head coach, he might be in altercations all over the place. Mm. I bet they've had discussions where they're like, well, look, if Bill's not the offensive coordinator, that's going to be way too much idle time on his hands. He'll start cussing out refs mercilessly. He'll start going after opponents. Let's keep him occupied with the OC job.
That's not a bad theory necessarily. It might be good for our content if O'Brien named an offensive coordinator and all of a sudden started jawing with players every Sunday.
He's kicked out of games. Yeah. Like, physically, he's giving the referee a noogie.
Yes. So this week, here's Marcus Peters weighing in on him versus Sean Payton.
Y'all do what y'all gonna do with it. That's cool. I mean, yeah. Like I say, man, I got the utmost respect for the Saints and their head coach and the organization, you know. But things like that, man, I'm going to be ready to play just as much as they're going to be ready to play. We're trying to play a game. We ain't trying to talk about no gumbo. We can talk about all that stuff afterwards. He's pushing, and it's not going to get no further. I am having fun. We talk about it right now. We laughing about it, man. I don't think that is something that we need to be pushing towards that's over the top of the NFC championship. Let's push that. We got the number one team in the NFC versus the number two team in the NFC, and we're trying to see what we're trying to send to the Super Bowl.
In the moments after a game where he's hot,
yeah,
I understand why a player might sound like that versus leading up to a game where he sounds like this. But it is a bit of a letdown, and with the way that he sounded the first time we heard him. And Jonesy, can we play that first clip of Marcus Peters talking about his interactions with Sean Payton right after the loss right after the loss of the Saints?
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that we're going to see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah. Because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him to keep talking that and I hope you see me soon.
I like
you. Feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
That's immediately after the game, and he's kind of amped up. I've seen Marcus Peters in a few of his meltdowns. Like, he had the one in Kansas City where he kept, like, he was owning his bad performance, and then at the very end, he was just like, bleep that, I'm getting loaded. I'm going to go get loaded.
Yeah.
And he just walked off camera. I can see Marcus Peters must be a really complex dude. Because, like, I think you can tell he's had the counseling at various points. Like, he knows there's things he needs to work on, and he tries to rein himself in, but he's got that fire in him, and he just can't get out of his own way sometimes. Yeah. I can't figure out, though.
So you can hear.
There's a handful in Kansas City, obviously, to the point where Andy Reid just wanted him gone. But I don't know. Has he been convicted of crimes ever? Or is it more just his...
You got in trouble out of Washington for getting in an altercation with a coach.
With a coach, that's right. Yeah, so, like, I don't... Like, without crimes against humanity, I get the sense that he's just this guy that's got... hasn't really learned how to manage and control his emotions yet, but I don't know if he's like a... I don't think he's... It doesn't come off to me like a bad dude.
You know who would have been just, perfect for him?
Huh?
Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien, because Bill O'Brien loved DJ Swearinger. Yeah. So,
I don't know if that might be some oil and water.
As Wade Smith pointed out, and I'm glad Wade brought this up, he just texted me, Sean Payton has been getting a whole lot of passes for things like, remember the skull clap that he was doing up in Minnesota?
Oh, he's a troll.
Right before he got humiliated. And that Sean Payton, like, also paid money. Like, Sean Payton was banned from the league for a year for Bounty Gate. And yet I feel like Sean Payton doesn't get this Greg Williams type
reputation. He's in New Orleans.
Yes.
Oh, that's true, though. Like, well, Greg Williams was there, too.
Yeah.
He's won a ring. Sean Payton.
Yeah, so is Greg Williams.
Yeah, but not as a head coach. Sean Payton is an arrogant head coach. And I say that in just a commentary sort of way, not in a pejorative or angry way.
Yeah.
Not in a critical way. Sean Payton is arrogant.
That's his personality.
Yeah, Sean Payton has earned arrogance. He is somebody who, I don't know if he'll be a Hall of Fame coach or not. But, I mean, maybe the next couple of weeks will go a long way towards determining that, but he is a really, really good play caller, and he's been a good head coach for over a decade.
Right, that's all true, but I think it's a different type of arrogance. Like Bill Parcells was as arrogant as they come, and I don't know if he would have done a skull clap. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I always had an issue with coaches that wanted to kind of like talk smack and stuff, kind of like they were players, but without the threat of getting their asses kicked like players.
I think he's like that.
That bothers me. That's what Greg Williams always bothers me. It's like, you're going to talk the tough. You want to talk. It's one thing, like, if you're a Steve Spurrier, kind of talk smack, but almost. And to me, it's over the line, but it's like an appropriate coach's way to where he's not trying to mix it up with the players. Like, Sean Payton's talking smack to Marcus Peters, but with no threat of actually getting his physical ass kicked.
That's fair.
This is when a player talks smack to Marcus Peters, he could get beat on the football field. Not in a fist fight, but actually on the field.
Yes.
That's what bothers me about it. Same as Greg Williams. Greg Williams talking about taking out people's ACLs and everything. Like, you pear-shaped bastard. You never play. What are you talking about?
I think the difference is that there's audio of Greg Williams, and with Sean Payton, there's no audio of him saying these things. You have visuals of Sean Payton doing these things, or you hear Marcus Peters incensed after the game talking about Sean Payton talking that trash. You'll see videos every now and then. I mean, Payton gets hot on the sidelines, probably more so than even Bill O'Brien does. I mean, he is someone that is ticked off. Whenever I feel like most of the times that I'm seeing highlights after a Sunday of the Saints and I'm seeing Sean Payton, it's not for like clapping or anything like that. It's for yelling at a referee or something along those lines.
He's an angrier guy than people perceive him to be.
Yeah.
That's a pretty impressive feat to pull off.
Bill or Sean?
Sean Payton.
He's
Sean
angrier Payton. Than people perceive him to be.
Yes, I think that's true. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
I don't think of him as like a hard ass. Like, I don't think of him in the same light as Mike Zimmer, but he might not be all that much different than Mike Zimmer, huh?
I agree with that. Okay. Yes. I don't know what it is. Maybe part of it is coaching in New Orleans. Maybe that's a factor. I'm not quite sure. We've got one more from Marcus Peters, who I guess got into it with legendary LA Times columnist Bill Plaschke.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet.
But you personally?
We ain't done yet. So what you getting at?
No, I'm wondering, do you think, according to the stats, you've had a season below your normal standards?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I mean, coming to this game, I come from a place where you're going to have your ups and downs. As long as your ass don't stay on the ground, you pick yourself up and you look yourself in the mirror and you keep striding and you keep building to become the best player that you can be and become the best person that you can be. I think all the rest will take care of itself. My resume speaks for itself. Everybody have bad days. I mean, you come to work and you wake up some days, you don't feel like going to work, right? It's a bad day. See, it's a bad day. You just asked a bad question.
Even,
so next.
Even more so today, yeah.
Next.
I think Seth is right. Yeah. Like, you can hear the combination of the counseling with his own natural internal fire and personality.
I think he's going to be, I think by the time he's done playing, he'll have turned his life around to the point where like people consider him an awesome teammate and everything. And he'll be a star on the motivational speaking tour. He'll go to speak at high schools and colleges and teams and everything. Cause he's got that ability in him. He's got a way with words and his yeahs. And as one of our listeners points out, Lil Jon's yeah might be on the same level. Those are the two best yeahs out there. Way better than, no offense, but way better than Jay-Z's.
Are we allowed to compare those, or is that like some race card in the loop violation? I don't know how these things work in 2019.
Are white people not allowed to listen to rap, Mike, in your world?
No, I'm just asking the question. I don't know.
Mike's the guy who rolls the windows up when he's listening to rap and he sees black people nearby.
You guys hear this? Are you hearing this right here? These are good beats.
You can't say, can't hear that word.
Windows up, locked car. Remember the guy here that wanted to use, oh boy, it was a really uncomfortable situation once, but basically he wanted to use a black guy's voice for something.
Yes.
And
does Paul know about this?
No,
I don't think so. But basically, so we had this conversation where we realized this is the kind of guy, this kind of guy, if he was at a traffic light and like two gay black guys in a Prius pulled up next to him, he would have rolled his windows up. Like this guy, I don't think was like an outward racist or anything, or even felt like he was, but definitely had racial, like, it was weird. It was really weird.
Here's what I'll say to everybody listening right now. If you run into us, like at any point that's not on the air and you ask us about this story, we will tell you this story.
I'm not gonna tell the story.
No, I'm not gonna say, I may not say exactly who it is, but I'll explain the story in a way, like I'm uncomfortable staying on the air because I think it's gonna come across very strange.
Yeah.
But if you see me out in Midtown or Washington or someplace, you can ask me about this.
Sometimes, like guys that grow up, like a lot of times, like in really rural white places, it's like there's an adjustment period to where they like they're just like, it's not that they're jerks or anything. Well, it's just they have different attitudes.
I'll admit that. I mean, yeah. I grew up. I make a joke about this all the time, but I don't think I was kidding. The town that I grew up in Hanover, Massachusetts, I'm fairly certain had more Dunkin' Donuts than minority families.
Yeah.
Like, it had, there were six Dunkin' Donuts in a town of 13,000 people. And I'm pretty sure that, like, that, at least based off of my interactions with the city of Hanover, that was the impression I got.
That's the thing, because that's where Houston's interesting. Because I think even, like, because I, like, obviously the city itself is really racially diverse and ethnically diverse. As you get out into the suburbs, it stops being that much as so. But I think, I don't think that you can go to any suburb around Houston where there isn't like a certain amount of diversity, right? Like, so it's not, there aren't many people growing up around here. Like, even if their immediate neighborhood might be all white or all black or all Hispanic or whatever, you still, when you get out in within the city and surrounding areas, you're around different people all the time.
I think that's fair.
Where, like, for a big chunk of America, like, either in the city or in the country or wherever, you might,
you just, I remember, ignorant.
Marcellus Wiley was talking about how, like, he'd never seen a white person in person until he was 13 years old. Like in his, because he was around in an all black and some Hispanic community his whole entire life. And likewise, there are a lot of white people living out in the sticks who never see a person of color until they're a certain age. And there's an adjustment, because Marcellus was talking about when he got to Columbia, how all of a sudden he went from like being an extremely homogenous environment to all of a sudden like all these different races and colors and everything. It was kind of like a, it's like a sensory overload almost.
Not that it makes it right, but I think that's one of the main reasons that New England has the reputation that it has when it comes to race, when it comes to race.
It's pretty, it's segregated. Like, it's not just, by it's just, law, but it's just segregated.
It's just like you never actually interact with other people, like, and realize, oh yeah, they're just like me.
Yeah.